This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks on KQV with expert advice from CPA attorney and retirement and estate planning expert, Jim Lang, the best-selling author of Retire Secure and the Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now on the air and online worldwide at RetireSecure.com. Get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to the Lang Money Hour. This is Nicole DiMartino. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today we're going to be focusing our attention on Social Security, and our guest today is certainly backed by popular demand. But first, let's start with a few introductions. We'll start with the president of the Lang Financial Group, Jim Lang. Jim's been practicing for nearly 30 years here in Pittsburgh, and he is a CPA and attorney and the author of the best-selling books Retire Secure, the first and second edition, and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now, today we have joining us Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, who was actually on our show last April. So, back by popular demand, Dr. Kotlikoff has taught at Yale and MIT, but right now he is coming to us from Boston University, where he is an economics professor. He is responsible for writing hundreds of articles published in the world's most notable journals and is the author of 14 books. And specifically, we're going to be speaking about his latest, Spend Till the End and Jimmy Stewart is Dead. I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
And before we get into the substance of the show, and we're really going to delve into when to take Social Security and some of the interesting strategies that can really make an enormous difference, I have a quick Larry Kotlikoff story. So he was on the show last April, and he had some very interesting things to say about Social Security, and I thought they were wonderful. And back then, you were actually allowed to return your Social Security, and that was particularly interesting to me because I was very involved in Roth IRA conversions, and I found out that if you returned your Social Security, which Larry thought was a good strategy because you would get more later on when you started collecting again, that giving it back, if you get a tax deduction, will allow you to do a Roth IRA conversion in effect for free. So I was so excited about that information. And I was writing a book on Roth IRA conversions at the time. By the way, it's out there, The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. And the information that Larry gave me was so good that I actually had it transcribed, and I was trying to make sure that I got everything right when I was writing the chapter in the book. And I actually quoted Larry, and I gave him credit. And when I was done, I thought, you know, I think that this is right, but I'd sure like to have someone double-check it. I wonder if Larry would. So I emailed the proposed chapter to Larry, and I said to Larry, here's the proposed chapter, and you know, you see that I quote you, could you tell me if this is right? Well, not only, and you know, Larry's a pretty serious big shot, and I didn't even know if he was going to look at it, but not only did he look at it, and I more or less had it right, but the thing that was really great is he said, you know, if you add this one other point, and it was talking about applying and suspending and collecting on your spouse's Social Security. So anyway, he basically said, if you add this one extra point, it'll really make the chapter a lot stronger. And rather than having me write it, he actually wrote it out for me. And it was about maybe 2 or 2.5 pages. And it was wonderful. So anyway, I was really excited to be able to put this in my book. And, you know, I do have a professional editor who edits for content, but I also have a non-professional editor who edits for the clarity of the language, punctuation, and the kind of thing that a journalism professor would edit for. And by the way, it's my mom, who is 94 years old, a retired journalism professor. So my mom was editing the book, and usually about every page or two, there's some red ink, and you know, she's making some kind of correction. Every once in a while, she'll say, you know, well done or something like that. Anyway, the section that Larry did, now remember, he wrote it, like this like 2-page or 2.5-page section. There was not one red mark, which was pretty unusual for something that long. And then at the end, it was very good. So Larry, you survived the scrutiny of my mom, who not only didn't mark you up, but wrote very good, which was more than I got.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be with you again, and tell your mom hi for me.
I sure will. So anyway, you gave us some wonderful information about Social Security. And, you know, talking to you about Social Security, I almost feel a little bit like we're having Bill Mazeroski on and talking about batting instead of fielding. Of course, yes, Bill Mazeroski hit the big home run in the seventh game against the New York Yankees in the World Series in 1960. But the people who remember Bill Mazeroski really remember him as a fabulous fielder, and that's what he did day in, day out. I kind of consider some of the work that you've done is so important, and it's really just on a major scale, and there's so many things that I'd love to talk to you about, you know, for example, the future of the country, inflation, what people should be doing in many areas related to the economy. But I think that to give people some really practical advice that I think would be very valuable, I'd like to at least start and maybe just concentrate on the issue of when to take Social Security, and know that we can't give it back. I know that you are very involved in some of the interesting strategies in applying and suspending collection of Social Security. So I was hoping that we could just talk about first, maybe in a simple case, and I guess we could do it a simpler case if we could take a look at somebody who is single. And let's assume that the person has worked for a number of years, will be eligible for Social Security. And let's assume for discussion's sake, in good health, not necessarily the healthiest person in the world, but you know, no cancer, no heart problems, and nothing that would, no reason for us to think that they would have a shortened life expectancy. Could you give us a little run through of when you think that person should take Social Security, or any other way that you want to introduce the topic?
Well, I think that's a good way to start with the simplest case, because it gets quite complicated when you're dealing with married couples. Even for single people, if they're divorced or widowed, they have some more complicated decisions. But just take somebody who's never been married, who's single, who's, let's say, 62, and they're trying to decide whether to take benefits right then or to wait possibly up till 70 and get much higher benefits, get roughly 74% higher benefits adjusted for inflation starting at age 70. So you have to give up benefits for 8 years, but then you get this much higher benefit for the rest of your life. Now, if you live to 100, which is possible, then that's 30 years of 74% higher benefits. It's going to far exceed the 8-year sacrifice of not getting benefits. And frankly, we have to plan to live to our maximum age of life because of the possibility that we may live that long. We can't count on dying on time. We can't use our life expectancy in this analysis, because that is something for an insurance company to do, but we're not an insurance company. We don't have many lives over which to gamble or throw the dice. We're only going to have one particular life, and we want to make sure that if we live, the really big risk of old age is actually too much of it, outliving your resources. So Social Security is providing you an inflation-protected pension backed 100% by the government, and it's an annuity. It continues as long as you live, and therefore waiting to get a 74% higher benefit by giving up 8 years of benefits before then, that's the price you're paying for, in effect, a higher annuity from the government. So you're buying, in effect, an annuity, an extra annuity from the government in waiting, and you're doing so at a really attractive price, really low price. So I try and encourage everybody who can to try and wait to collect as long as possible, and to try and use other resources earlier on, like their 401ks or their regular assets, or to keep working longer to get over that hump between 62 and 70 in order to take advantage of this. Now, if you know for sure you're going to die by 80, then it's a different consideration. And we have this new software program at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, which we just introduced, my little software company. Again, it's MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, that allows people to enter what they want to do, but also the program will tell them what collection dates are best to get the highest, are needed, or will give you the highest present value of your lifetime benefits.
Yeah, so, and let me interrupt for one second. I'll tell the audience, there's a lot of people out there selling different software programs, and there's all kinds of Roth IRA calculators, and frankly, there's a lot of stuff that I really don't think is wonderful, and I don't think it's in your interest to even go to that. Larry's stuff is the top of the industry, and I suspect that, and to be fair, I just learned about this site actually a couple minutes ago, but knowing Larry and knowing the quality of the work that went into his other sites that are just superb, I can't imagine that this wouldn't be wonderful, and that the potential information that you would gain from both listening to this broadcast and then going to this software, and for a couple bucks to have this run for yourself, or perhaps if you wanted some professional help to have us look at it also, is just invaluable. Because some of the things that you have said in the past, and I assume that they are still true, is that we're really talking about an enormous difference in the quality of somebody's life if they live a long time. You know, the difference between literally being comfortable and not being comfortable.
Well, if you're sitting here at age, let's say, 62, and you're single and you have maybe $500,000 in assets, maybe the most of that's in a retirement account, and you've got Social Security, which is kind of a situation for, probably might be a pretty good situation for a lot of single 62-year-olds. Taking your Social Security at 70 versus 62 might mean potentially a 10, maybe even a 15% higher living standard for the rest of your life, starting immediately, because you can count on this higher chunk of money coming in starting at 70, and before then you can use your own resources to consume. So you get to have your cake and eat it too, potentially, which is a higher living standard after 70, but also a higher living standard between 62 and 70. So it's like free money, and it's also safe. We're not talking about taking anybody's money and putting it in the stock market or buying specific securities that are risky. We're just talking about deciding when to walk into the Social Security office, whether to do it at age 62 versus 70. That's a safe decision.
All right, I'm just going to interrupt for 1 minute, because it's really important that I've by the way, I have become I've drank the Kool-Aid, Larry. You convinced me, and I have talked to a lot of my clients about this, and emotionally they often want to collect at 62, and we haven't even talked about 66 versus 70. But then they'll say something like, well, gee, that means that I'm going to have to lead a frugal lifestyle between 62 and 70. And then I say, no, it's fine to spend more, because you can spend more knowing that you're going to get a higher income later. So when you tell people
exactly
that this isn't a deferred gratification idea, this is an idea for spending more now and spending more later.
And you know what? I'm actually going to pop in. Larry, I'm going to give you a chance to talk to Jim right back when we come back from our break. You've been listening to the Lang Money Hour with Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, Social Security expert, and Jim Lang. We'll be right back.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Lang Money Hour. We are here with Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, Social Security expert.
Okay, Larry, you were starting to say, or at least I was starting to reaffirm or to help clarify your point of, no, if you hold up on your Social Security, it's not eat beans till you're 70 and then live like a king. It's you can spend more money before you're 70.
Potentially.
It
depends on your household circumstances. And what we're really saying is people want to have a smooth living standard. They want to have a higher one, but they also want it to be smooth. And so we have this other software program called ES Planner, Economic Security Planner, which In the plus version, and people have all the options for looking at when to take Social Security, but the program also gets to your bottom line, which is your living standard. It figures out what your living standard, it tries to smooth your living standard, and it shows you if you can't have a perfectly smooth living standard because you can't borrow against your future Social Security benefits, what the trade-off is, how much, you know, how many beans do you get to eat before 70, and what do you get to eat after 70? So you can see this trade-off, and then you can also think about other options like taking more money out of my 401k, like doing a Roth conversion if that makes save some taxes. It incorporates all the tax issues, state and federal, while it's doing this. So it really does get to your bottom line, which is your living standard, and that's what economics has to say on the subject. It's your living standard, stupid, is our mantra here.
Yeah, in fact, I remember you admonished me because last show when we were talking about this issue of, you know, I kind of said, well, gee, if you take it early and you die before roughly age 82, depending on your interest rates and your assumptions, that you actually come out ahead. But if you live longer than that, you're better off taking it.
And then, I was yelling at you last time. That's not a valid way to look at it. Yeah,
you told me, and this is the exact quote, you said, Lang, quit thinking like an actuary. Think like an economist. If you die early before age 82, you're dead. It doesn't matter. What you're worried about is if you live and you run out of money. And frankly, you were right.
That kind of break-even analysis is kind of like thinking about whether or not to buy homeowner's insurance. You say, well, gee, I don't need homeowner's insurance because on average the premiums I pay are going to equal the probability of the fire times the value of the home, and therefore I shouldn't buy homeowner's insurance. And nobody does that because we don't have 100 homes that may or may not burn down, and we break even on average, or 1,000 homes. In this case, we don't have 1,000 lives to leave. We just have one. So this whole break-even analysis that the industry is focused on is completely nuts. And the reason that they're focused on it, to tell you the truth, Jim, is either it's bad training because they haven't had economics as, you know, enough economics in school, or at least economists who focus on this point, or they're trying to keep people from buying annuities because annuities is insurance. And a lot of people that were a lot of financial planners out there and investment companies are trying to retain people's money, not have them buy annuities, because then the money goes over to the insurance companies and they don't make the commission. So the goal here is to make sure you're protected against excessive longevity.
Right. And if I could just clarify for one quick moment, the annuities that you are talking about, Larry, are not the tax-deferred annuities or commercial annuities that many life insurance agents sell. You are talking about something called an immediate annuity, which is a relatively simple, relatively low-cost, low-fee investment where, in effect, you give the insurance company a chunk of money and they give you an income, sometimes adjusted for inflation, sometimes not. You know, it's your choice on that. Sometimes with IRA or retirement plan dollars, sometimes not, for the rest of your life. And you can use my simplistic break-even analysis of determining, you know, gee, if you live till this long, it's a good thing. If you die earlier, you would have been better off without it. But your point is on these immediate annuities, as well as the issue of holding up on your Social Security, that it's not really an actuarial calculation. What you have to think about is the real human side of being old and broke, which is what you don't want to do.
You got to plan to maximize your life because you may. Now, what economists say is that the right planning horizon is your maximum age of life, and to ensure yourself against living to your maximum, you buy the right insurance policy, which is a true annuity, which is what you're referring to, which is like an immediate life annuity. Now, we would also say you want to stay away from anything that's not fully inflation indexed. You don't want to buy a graded annuity. You don't want to buy a nominal annuity because these things are very risky to inflation. And I think we're going to have tons of inflation coming because the government can't pay its bills that are coming. And we're already printing money out the wazoo as it is. So you want to, and then you've got to worry about, will AIG or MetLife or the other companies that are selling. There's only a couple that are selling inflation-indexed annuities, the principal insurance company. These are three companies that are selling them, but will they be around in 30 years? So they may not. But the government is likely to be around. It's likely to be paying off its Social Security benefit payments. And that's why, in effect, buying a much higher annuity from Social Security directly is a really good way to go. So for the single person, getting back to that person, if they're not widowed or divorced, they're pretty simple. They have to decide when to take their retirement benefit, and then they have to think about whether they can get over the hump between 62 and 70, whether they, maybe they can't get all the way to 70, they get out to 68. Anyway, that's the issue, and our software, ES Planner, can help people sort that one out. Now, what if they're divorced? Well, then they have another decision. They have to, if they take their benefit between 62 and their full retirement age, which right now is around 66, well, then they're going to be forced to take their spousal benefit based on their ex's earnings history. So if you take your retirement benefit early, you're forced to take your spousal benefit early. If you take your spousal benefit early in your divorce, you're forced to take your retirement benefit early. So that may not be the best strategy because in either case, you're going to get a benefit that's reduced, and you're going to be getting this permanently reduced benefit. And we just said that it makes sense to try and wait. So here's a different strategy. Suppose you're divorced and you make it to full retirement age. You don't take anything. But then you, let's suppose you had a decent earnings history so that your benefit, your own retirement benefit is actually equal to more than your spousal benefit. So here's a way for you to get a free spousal benefit if you're divorced. What you do is you wait to the full retirement age and you apply just for the spousal benefit. And then you get collect that spousal benefit up through age 70, and at age 70 you apply for your retirement benefit. And in doing this, you get the maximum retirement benefit because it gets, first of all, it's not reduced because you're waiting till 70, and it's actually increased for every year you wait to collect between 66 and 70. That's called the delayed retirement credit. It's 8% a year. So you wait 4 years, it's 32% higher benefit than collecting at full retirement age. So here's the idea. You get a free spousal benefit on your ex's earnings history. If you were married for 10 or more years before you were divorced, you can get a spousal benefit, and then you start collecting your own retirement benefit. So that's the strategy that most divorced people should be focused on.
And very
widowed people, yeah, sorry,
very few people know about this, by the way. And when I tell people, a lot of times they're even shocked to think that I would even consider having them hold up on Social Security. Now, one quick question, and it's going to be relevant for later on, but let's just talk about the divorce situation.
Let me just say, even Social Security is now advising people to wait. In effect, they used to tell everybody to go early until I and other economists started yelling at Social Security for doing that. We sat down. I had lunch with the chief actuary, Steve Goss, who's now the chief actuary, is a friend of mine. I sat down and explained the economic, how to think about this. He pretty quickly got the point, and now they've taken away all the admonitions to people to take their benefits early. They're now saying pretty much the opposite.
Well, that's a real social change that you have started, and hopefully people will listen. Now, one of the things, and the question's going to be the same when we get to the non-divorce situation, but by you taking benefits based on your spouse's earnings, are you in any way hurting your spouse, or in the case of a divorce,
if you're divorced, anything you do doesn't affect your ex, and anything he or she does doesn't affect you.
All right, so you're in effect.
No interaction.
All right, so when you say free money, basically you're kind of taking it from your divorce's spouse's shoulders, but it's not costing them anything either.
Not a penny. It's completely available to you. It's really a benefit available to you off based on their earnings history. And if you're widowed, let's say you're 62 and you're widowed, and your dead spouse had a decent earnings history, you can collect a widow's benefit starting at 60. Actually, you don't have to wait till 62. You can that benefit you can start at 60. You can collect that right up through 70 and start your retirement benefit at 70, and it'll be the maximum benefit possible because you will have not taken it before full retirement and even delayed it to age 70. So you'll get 10 years of a spousal benefit, of a widow's benefit. It's called a survivor benefit. And then you'll get your highest possible Social Security benefit kicking in. So for most widows or widowers who are, let's say, below age 60, this is probably going to be the best strategy. Now, it depends. If their widow benefit is higher than their own retirement benefit, then it won't necessarily be the best strategy. It may be a better strategy to wait till full retirement age and then take a non-reduced widow's benefit, which you'll just keep getting for the rest of your life. So again, our software at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com is designed to help people sort this out. We just introduced it, and we're still improving it. You know, it's an early stage product. It's $40 a year for the license to see what it is that is actually going to give you the highest present value benefits. But the download version, which is called ES Planner Plus, can also look at all these different options, but also has the advantage of showing you the living standard implications. Should we talk a bit about marrying people?
I'd love to do that, but I think that I think it is time for another break
I'm giving
now.
Jim the look. We are. It is time for a break.
Okay.
And I think this is a great resource. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Definitely take a visit at that. We were listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Welcome back to the Lang Money Hour. We are here with CPA and attorney Jim Lang and Dr. Larry Kotlikoff of Boston University, Social Security expert and author of Spend Till the End.
Another one of his fine books.
Another one, yes.
Before had to take a break. Larry, I think you were going to talk about what happens if you are married, mm-hmm. and let's say one or both spouses has an earning area. And by the way, for all the listeners right here, what you're about to hear is some gold that can make an enormous difference in your lives. You should pull over, listen to the replay on Sunday. Mm-hmm. A month from now, when we eventually get this on our website, listen to it again. Read the transcript of it. This is gold. Go ahead, Larry.
Quite an intro there.
It makes an enormous. We've made an enormous difference. And honestly, Larry, a year ago I didn't know this stuff, and I think I am a better advisor today because you were on the show and I recognized, hey, this is something that I should pay attention to. So anyway, with that modest introduction, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Let me just talk about a married couple. Let's suppose that they're both age 62 and they have the same exact earnings history and they're trying to decide when to take their benefits. And let's suppose that they have enough 401k money or regular assets to get through to age 70 to collect. So they're sitting here and they say, should we take benefits? Both of us take benefits at 62. I would say that's a big loser as a move, because if they have to worry about living to the maximum age of life, and they can get 74% higher benefits each, retirement benefits each, if they wait till 70. So they give up 8 years, but they're going to get a whole lot more later. And by waiting, they're going to get their living standard up dramatically. You know, it could be 10-15% starting at age 62. Now, is that the best they can do? The answer is no. There's something else they can do when they hit full retirement age, which is that one of them can do something called file and suspend for, let's say the husband does this, he files and suspends for his retirement benefit. And at the same time, the wife applies just And I want to repeat and emphasize just for her spousal benefit. So in applying just for her spousal benefit, her retirement benefit continues to grow, and well, she hasn't received it yet, but when she hits age 70, she'll be getting the delayed retirement credit tacked on to her, what's called her primary insurance amount, so she'll have the highest benefit possible. And because the husband has filed and suspended, he's not collecting his retirement benefit until 70, and he also is going to get the maximum benefit. He's going to have the delayed retirement tacked on. But by his filing and suspending, starting at full retirement age, he can't really do this before full retirement age, he allows her to apply just for her spousal benefit. So this means that between 66 and 70, for 4 years, she's going to get this free spousal benefit. That's going to be about half of his what's called primary insurance amount, his full retirement benefit, if he were taking benefits at full retirement. So if his full retirement benefit, let's say, is $30,000, then we're talking about her getting $15,000 a year for 4 years at $60,000, all inflation indexed. So that may not be exactly, you know, it's not a huge pot of money, but for a lot of people that's important. $60,000 might be more than a year's living standard in terms of what people are actually spending. So one has to deal carefully with Social Security, because there is a lot of money to be made and lost by not handling this system correctly. There's, you know, in principle, there's two benefits that a couple can take, a spousal benefit and a retirement benefit, and there's two spouses. So there's four benefits potentially at each age from age 62 to 70. So that's like four to the eighth potential possible combinations of when one spouse takes one thing versus the other. That's 65,532 combinations. Now, not all of these combinations are actually available to you because Social Security has restrictions. For example, if the wife were to try and, if the husband were to take his retirement benefit early at age 62, let's say, and the wife were to try and take just her spousal benefit at age 62 and wait till 70, no, that's not allowed by Social Security. She'll be deemed to be applying for both if she applies for one, if he's actually getting a retirement benefit.
So you can't have in effect two benefits from the same person simultaneously.
Well, I don't want to say it quite that way, but there is this deeming provision at esplanner.com. There's a case study. If you click under Learn More, there's a case study the title of which is When Should I Take Social Security? And that lays out a lot of these options and talks about them. And then, of course, we have the tools. But
And by the way, I hate to interrupt.
You can read the case study for free. Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but that is a wonderful resource for, you know, by the way, for $40, I think maximize your social...
Maximize my social security
is probably... A great investment, but going to the Cape. But there are a lot of people that don't even want to spend $40, but they are willing to take a look for free, and particularly some of the quantitative types. Like, to me, I think every engineer, even if it's not relevant to you, should take a look at that case study. So, could you again give that the URL for that particular case study?
Because yeah, sure.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So it's esplanner.com, www.esplanner, stands for Economic Security Planner, so that's why it's esplanner.com. And then just click on Learn More, and then just click on Case Studies.
And that is well worth to go worth yep. it to go through.
And by the
that.
Way, Jim, I want to tell your listeners that if you go to esplanner.com/basic, which is our simplified online version, you can run that program for free without a penny, and you just run it without logging in. If you log in, we're going to ask you, you know, if you want to save your data, we're charging $40 a year, and then you can add some extra features, do what's called upside investing. You and I should talk on the radio about that in the future, Jim, or Monte Carlo simulations, or even conventional financial planning if you want. But for free, you can just run this thing with, if you just don't log in, you can run ES Planner Basic and certainly get a pretty good lifetime plan for no cost whatsoever. We're doing that as a public service and also to try and get people interested in economics way of planning.
Yeah, and like I said before, to have you on and basically limit our talk to Social Security is kind of hurtful. But as it is, we're going to run out of time in not too long, and all we've been talking about is Social Security. So anyway, why don't you continue with the analysis?
So what I gave you was kind of a thing that most couples might, if they're both two earner couples, that might be the optimal strategy. But it very much depends on their ages. This thing can get pretty complicated. For example, suppose that the husband is older than the wife, and she's had let's suppose that he's at full retirement age. He's 66 and she's 62, and she's had a pretty low level of earnings in the past. Well, no, actually, let's suppose they're both 62 and she's had a low level of earnings, and he's going to wait till 66 to file and suspend, and she's going to, what should she do? Well, I was kind of just telling you that if she was a high earner, she would probably want to wait till 66 to go just for her spousal benefit and then wait till 70 to get her retirement benefit. Well, but what if she's been a really low earner so that the spousal benefit is actually going to be bigger than her own retirement benefit? Well, then it would make sense for her to start collecting her retirement benefit at 62, conditional or provided that he's not collecting his retirement benefit. If he is collecting his retirement benefit, then she's deemed to be collecting her, to be applying to collect her spousal benefit as well, and then that will be permanently reduced. But the idea, what we're trying to get to here, is to have her be able to collect a non-reduced spousal benefit starting at full retirement age. So the trick then is for him not to collect anything until, let's say, full retirement age, to go in at 66 and file and suspend. And she takes her retirement benefit at 62. Now, okay, so here she is taking her retirement benefit at 62. I just told you that if you take one thing early, you got to take the other early. And that's really what happens. She's deemed to be taking her, she's filed for her retirement benefit, so she's also deemed to be taking her spousal benefit. But because he's not yet taking his retirement benefit, she's undeemed. So Social Security deems her and then undeems her. Now, I could not make this up. This is what the actuaries at Social Security, you'll not find this in the 2728 rules in the handbook. There's a program operating manual system, which has got thousands of rules to explain the handbook rules. But I don't think you'll find it there either. The way we learned about this is by interacting intensively with the Social Security actuaries, by sending them emails, and they email us right back. They're brilliant people and a great treasure. But this system is so complicated that how would you know about deeming and undeeming? But here's, for that kind of a couple where the wife has a low earnings history, it may be optimal for her to take benefits starting at 60, her retirement benefits starting at 62. She'll be deemed to take her spouse benefit, but since he's not collecting a retirement benefit, she'll be undeemed. So that's the one way in which she can actually collect one benefit without the other before full retirement age. And then she gets her retirement benefit for free for 4 years from 62 to 66, and then she goes on to half, you know, a spousal benefit, which is half of his retirement benefit, and it's unreduced, and it's for the rest of her life. Now, that's where, you know, there's about, when you go from the 65,532 options to what you impose all the restrictions that Social Security sets, you end up with about 81 or so options, and our software is trying to maximize over all those options and look at what to do. And that's, you know, no mortal human being can actually do this in his own brain. You have to have pretty sophisticated software and also have to get the rules right, which we're always struggling. You know, I got to tell you, I've got a PhD from a pretty good place called Harvard. I don't think I'm all that smart, but they were dumb enough to accept me, but... Anyway, I've studied this stuff all my life, and I learn new things all the time. I'll tell you one thing I just learned the other day, that we have now implemented.
Before you do, I'm getting the look from Nicole. And by the way, before we come back, and I'd like to go into some of the minutiae, but I know one of the questions that some of our listeners, or a lot of our listeners, are asking, they're going to say, oh, the United States is going broke. I'm just going to get the money while I can, because the whole Social Security system isn't going to be there. It's not going to be there, so why should I wait? But if we could get to that answer after our break, I would sure appreciate it.
We'll get to it right after the break. You're listening to the Lang Money Hour with Jim Lang and Dr. Larry Kotlikoff. We'll be right back.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Lang Money Hour. We have been talking with Dr. Larry Kotlikoff, Social Security expert. And before I turn it back over to these gentlemen, I want to make sure that if you cannot wait, you're just too anxious, you can't wait till August to see Jim's workshop. If you go to our flagship website, it is Roth IRA-advisor.com. It's actually a brand new site. Actually, it's not brand new. I mean, we've had it for a long time, but it's revised a little bit. But if you go on there, Jim has made available his Roth IRA workshop and his estate planning workshop. Both of them are on there. Depending on which one you want, they're just $99. But if you do order both, they're $149. So you get a very nice discount. So you can see those at Roth IRA-advisor.com.
Okay, so before we get into some of the issues that are important that you wanted to, I just wanted to take a step back for 1 minute, because I get this a lot, and I don't mean that from uneducated people, but from people who are very on top of it, who themselves have, if not PhDs from Harvard, at least college degrees and often advanced degrees. And they're saying, hey, you know, with the way this country is and Social Security, how do I know if it's going to be there? Right now I can get it. That way I can get it and I can invest it. And aren't I just better and safer just getting the money while I can?
Well, all our software programs, the MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com and the ESPlanner.com, we allow people to specify cuts in Social Security benefits in the future, so you can certainly see whether waiting makes sense, even given that you think there's going to be a cut of 30% or something starting at some point in the future. I think that the government would sooner default on its official debt than cut the benefits of Social Security participants who are already receiving, retirees who are already receiving their benefits, or who are very close to receiving their benefits, basically age 62 or older and are waiting to collect. I think the probability of that is very, very low, but we built the software to allow people to explore that. They may have different views. The other thing is that the taxation of your Social Security benefits might go up under the income tax or the state income taxes. And our ESPlanner.com software allows you to anticipate higher income taxes. And we have the whole taxation of your Social Security benefits programmed in our income tax calculation. So those are the channels by which you might get hurt, either a direct cut in benefits or indirectly getting hit with higher taxation of your benefits through the back door, through the income tax. And you can explore both issues. And that's, you know, the best I can say. I'm not clairvoyant. I can tell you that I think the country's broke. I have a column up on Bloomberg today that says stop the fiscal war on our kids, which is points out exactly how broke we are. We're in much worse fiscal shape than is commonly believed. So on this issue, I'm far to the south or whatever. I think I'm much more pessimistic than the typical person about the fiscal condition of the country. But I think that the last thing that the government will do is to take away people's Social Security benefits directly.
All right. Well, I think that that's really important, because I think a lot of people are, they really don't even want to get to the point of whether they should analyze it and whether they should, you know, look to.
Yeah, I think they're going to leave a lot of money on the table by, because I think that the most likely proposition is that the Social Security benefits will be there. If they take benefits at 62, they're going to get 74, you know, get much lower benefits than if they wait. And their living standard will be permanently reduced for the next 40 years. It's going to be much lower, not much, you know, 10, 15% lower for the rest of their life. Why should they, you know, that's the equivalent of giving away a significant pot of money. Yeah, go ahead.
And particularly for people who don't have a lot of money, so a lot of people say, well, oh, I can't afford to wait until I'm 70.
They can't afford not to wait.
Right, that I think would be more accurate. So,
I think that's the way to put it. Poor people in some ways can't afford not to wait. They have to do whatever it takes, you know, live with their kids, downside their home, maybe even consider taking a reverse mortgage, although there are some risks associated with that, and some issues one would have to raise and we'd have to talk about. But use your 401k money up early. I think that, you know, I'm not clairvoyant here, and I would hate to say for sure do anything. I don't say for sure doing anything. I'm just throwing out kind of opinions or probability assessments here, but I don't know for sure what's going to happen, and nobody else does either.
And by the way, I've done a pretty good job shutting up to now, but I just can't hold back any longer. There are two things that you have mentioned in passing that I think are really important. And one is you are getting income tax breaks by holding up on your Social Security because you're not paying income taxes, and that's consistent with my general strategy of pay taxes later except for the Roth. And the other advantage that you have by holding up on your Social Security is that you can make Roth IRA conversions without increasing the taxes on your Social Security. So for a lot of people, for example, who are in the 15% bracket and they make a Roth IRA conversion, all of a sudden the percentage of the tax on their Social Security goes up, so that the tax on the Roth IRA conversion, instead of being at 15%, might actually be at, say, 45% when you calculate it. Another advantage of holding up on your Social Security is that you can do more Roth IRA conversions, and I even have a chapter.
Let me say it this way. Yeah, if you withdraw from your 401k after you start taking Social Security, all those withdrawals are going to be included in your adjusted gross income, and that's going to be used to calculate how much tax on your Social Security benefits you owe. But as you say, Jim, if you wait till 70 to take Social Security and you take, let's say, a good chunk of your money out from your 401k earlier, either you spend it to get over the hump or you convert it into a Roth, then here you are. Let's suppose you convert it into a Roth at age 67, 68, 69, 65, you know, all these years, 62, you do these conversions. And then you're sitting here at age 73 and you've got Roth money, and you take the Roth money out to spend at that point. Well, that does not show up in the adjusted gross income, so it doesn't affect it doesn't lead your Social Security benefits to be subject to taxation. They might be still subject to taxation because you have some other income that's pushing you into an AGI bracket that makes your Social Security benefits now become first 50% of them and then 85% subject to taxation. But it may be that you don't have enough other income and that those, you then receive your Social Security benefits without any taxation on them whatsoever by using the strategy. So the Roth strategy is a way to get more out of Social Security potentially in terms of less taxation on your Social Security benefits. And, you know, what you have on your website and in terms of your planning services and what we have in our software, ESPlanner.com, allows you to explore this issue, because, you know, we're doing all the taxes each year separately, taking into account all these issues of Social Security benefit taxation, and we allow you to do the conversion very simply in our software. It's very quick. So you can see in a couple of seconds whether a conversion is actually going to raise your living standard and save you taxes over the rest of your life.
Well, I'll tell you, to cut your taxes and get more money from the government's great. The one other thing I want to say on the taxes, You've mentioned a couple times taking money from your 401k. If you have money outside your 401k, let's assume for discussion's sake that you have both, I call it after-tax money, but whether you want to call it savings or investments or my savings or whatever it is, and money in your 401k in general, following my rule of pay taxes later, except for the Roth, I would prefer that you spend money from outside your 401k, preserving your 401k. So that's just, let's say, another tax tip. All right, and Larry, I'm getting about the 2 minute sign. So,
well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. On that one, Jim, let me just raise an issue here, which is that if I've got some money in my regular assets, and also have money in a 401k, and I'm thinking about taking some and putting it into a Roth. If that's the question, I think it might be better to take it out of the 401. Depends on your current tax bracket, but you see, when you spend your principal of your regular assets in the future, that's not going to be subject to taxation, but when and not be counted as part of your AGI. But when you take your money out of your 401k when you're 73, it will be included as part of AGI. So anyway, little point.
Okay.
What am I different on?
All right. That's fair enough. You don't have to be right about everything, Larry.
I may be off. I think we need to talk about this one.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell our listeners? The way I would conclude today's session is that there's great opportunities to really strategically determine when you should take Social Security, mm-hmm. and if you are divorced, when you should apply for a spousal benefit. If you are married, whether it makes sense to apply and suspend and then take a spousal benefit, and that there are great tools. Larry's software at My Social Security.
MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Yes.
Or if you actually want a real life professional to help you with this, and frankly, this is not my real area of expertise. My real area of expertise is IRAs, retirement plans, Roth IRA conversions, but this is part of it, as well as investments, estate planning, etc. Or to come in and see me, or perhaps the combination of using the software and seeing me.
All righty, Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm sure you'll be on again. I'm sure you'll be back.
Happy to do that.
If you want to hear this show again, just listen Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We're on every Sunday at 9 a.m. And then this will appear both in an audio file and a text file on RetireSecure.com. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Check out the show archives and listen on demand anytime at RetireSecure.com. KQV listeners can receive free tickets to Jim Lang's Pittsburgh area workshops and more. Call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732. That's 412-521-2732. And reserve your seats and meet Jim Lang in person. Again, that's 412-521-2732. The Lang Money Hour's executive producer is Nicole DiMartino with the Lang Financial Group on KQV 1410 Pittsburgh.